discussing some of the aspects of closing real estate loans with attorney David Matney. Before the break, we were discussing title insurance. And David, I meant to ask you, when someone goes to the closing table, specifically the buyer or the borrower, that entity or that party is going to probably have an option to get title insurance. Please explain the need for the title insurance from the lender's point of view as well as from the owner's point of view.
Right. Well, the lender is requiring, when all commercial lenders that I know of require title insurance, but that's just in the amount of the loan. And it's, if the loan gets paid down, the amount of insurance decreases, whereas you as an owner have money that you've put down, and there may be things that affect the property. Title insurance ensures your title, that there's nothing out there that would affect it. Title insurance on a lender just ensures they're going to get their money back.
Right. That's all they care about up to that point.
And if you as a living there, there might be things that wouldn't reduce the value enough to affect the lender's loan, but affect your ability to live there the way you want to live there. So you gain a lot by having it.
So even for a person who's putting little or no money down, where they say, well, I really don't have any equity in the property. The point is, as you make your amortizing mortgage payments over time and the real estate theoretically appreciates, you won't be able to go back and have that survey done to maybe not close because the survey showed something. Does a survey ever show anything where someone wants to, undo the transaction or not do the transaction?
Oh, yes. It's happened several times where the surveyor shows property was built in the right place. Matter of fact, I know one right now where there's, I think, $2.5 million in construction that no survey was done, and it's about a foot and a half over the line, and there's a lawsuit by the property owner where the wall of the building is saying, take it off.
Yeah.
And so, title insurance doesn't help you on that because you didn't get a survey.
Right. So if the survey had been done, then it would
wouldn't have closed.
The title search would have revealed that.
Yes.
And right.
Well, the title search doesn't reveal it, but the survey, title search shows you own this tract of land. Title search doesn't show you where the house is.
Okay.
So the survey shows where on that lot the house is.
Right. I actually managed a defunct SNL at one point, and we had a mortgage that was recorded on essentially the doghouse next to the property, and we couldn't we chose not to foreclose because it wasn't worth it.
Doghouse wasn't worth it, I understand. Yeah,
the doghouse, right. Okay. So when you're scrolling down through the settlement statement and you see what your monthly payment's going to be, or maybe that would be elsewhere, you get to the concept or the notion of escrows. Why is it that there need to be an escrow account? What is escrows and what does it accomplish?
All right. Well, escrows will be for a couple things. They'll be for taxes and for insurance. And the reason a lender wants to escrow for taxes is government's going to get their money first. If taxes aren't paid, the tax lien is ahead of your lenders, and they really don't like that.
So even if it happens after you close, they go to a superior position just by statute, I guess.
By statute.
Right.
You close a loan in 2008 and you don't pay your 2009 taxes. The 2009 taxes are a first lien and your loan is a second. They don't like that. And then from insurance standpoint, insurance, of course, is protecting you, the homeowner's insurance, but it's also protecting the lender. If a borrower is getting in financial trouble, one of the first things they may not pay is their insurance. Yeah. And if the house, because if they figure they don't have a whole lot of equity in it, they're not going to spend the money.
Yeah.
Whereas the lender has its entire loan at risk and wants to make sure that insurance is in place. Now, companies will force place insurance and pay for it if you don't, but there's always this gap that if it burned down during that gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if it burns down, you've got no incentive to pay, so they're going to make you pay it.
Yes. So they collect one.
They'll pay it themselves, actually.
It's also budgeting. It helps people, instead of having large amounts to pay two times a year, the taxes at one time, the insurance another, you divide it into 12ths and pay it throughout the year, and people can budget better.
The good intentions don't actually work out by November when your insurance is due or whatever that is. When it comes to a tax service fee, what on earth would that, I know what it is, but explain to the listeners why that appears on the statement.
Your lender is paying an entity to go check every year and make sure that the taxes were properly paid. Now, even if your lender is paying them through your escrows, they may not get credit to your account. There could be a tax foreclosure started and all sorts of money have to pay because cost and expenses go astronomical if it's misapplied.
Right.
Or the letter gets lost in the mail from the, you know, anything can happen. So they have someone check behind it. And it's a one-time fee.
One time. What, but is it for ongoing service?
Those entities do enough of them that the one-time fee, they do it for the life of the loan.
Right, okay. So in today's market, there would be a lot of creative financing maybe amongst sellers and buyers to help people out of homes or new other people into homes that they can't qualify for. With respect to something called a deed in lieu of foreclosure, I want you to quickly address how dangerous it is and how it's used to structure financing for someone to get into a house or a property.
The first time, the main purpose in a deed in lieu is you have a loan with someone. You are in default. They have two choices. One is foreclosure. You deed it back to them. It saves them cost, and maybe they won't sue you for a deficiency if you deed it back. That's the primary purpose of a deed in lieu. However, there are lenders, and I know of no commercial lender that does this. You're just talking individuals, who says, I will loan you the money, but I want you to go ahead and sign a deed, and I'm going to hold on to it till you default. Well, first of all, courts don't like that. Because there is a procedure set up for foreclosure and all this, and there's due process. And so it's not a good idea from either side to try to do that. It may not work from the lender side, and then you've got a great big fight on your hands with less rights, less time, less going on. Try to get a bankruptcy court involved if you needed to. Property's already gone.
So I guess the lesson is to be leery if you're being asked to sign a deed in lieu of foreclosure at the time of purchase.
Yes.
Okay.
After there's a default, after there is a problem, it's a business decision to see where you are and what equity you might or might not have. But beforehand, don't sign one.
There are different ways to take title to a property. Some of them are joint tenants, which most people are familiar with, even though they might not know the legal ramifications of it, with rights of survivorship. I should have added tenants in common. Another one is tenancy by the entirety. Is it necessary that a husband and wife have to take title by tenants by the entirety?
No, it's not necessary. It can be title new. Particularly your residence. Put it in both names. A couple reasons. One, your spouse can say, it's my house, get out. Just kind of a practical thing. The other side is the creditors of one or the other cannot then take the house. It cannot be taken by the husband's creditors or the wife's creditors with the sole exception of the IRS.
So if the husband's a big gambler and he's trying to get a second mortgage on the house to
repay, he
has to bring the wife to the table at the bank and to get that loan.
But
right?
If from his business he owes large amounts of taxes, the IRS can get to the house.
IRS. Okay. I've been speaking with David Matney. If you have any questions or concerns, give him a call at 258-3395. I'm sure he or someone else in his office can help you. My name is Glenn Wessel. This is Investor IQ. You've been tuned into WWNC.com, the talk of the mountains. We will be back next week. Thanks very much.